Of love tonight, and we might have one or two more lessons after this as we close out this series. And I don't know what the Lord has for us on Wednesday night. I'm praying about that right now. We may delve into spiritual warfare and speaking about that. I'm not sure, but you pray with me that the Lord would just direct and we'll go from there. But we're going to open up in 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse number 8, if you'll turn there in your Bible, and I'd say this, we've come a long way when we're looking at this matter of adding to your faith. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, a whole list of things that God has given to us, and I believe measuring marks for us in the Christian life. We're abounding in these areas, increasing in these areas in our Christian life, but we get to the very final, the tip of the iceberg, if you will, the very top, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8. Would you look at that with me? The Bible says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. What's so interesting about this verse is Peter is dealing in this passage with the return of Christ. You know this, that most of the church expectedly waited for the return of Christ in the first century. In fact, if you read the writings of Paul, you read Peter, you read John, they all expected the Lord Jesus to return at any moment. It was imminent. And in this passage, Peter's writing and couched in this passage dealing with the return of Christ, the Apostle Peter tells us the importance, the vital importance of this matter of charity, of love, godly love. And so let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so blessed to be in the house this night. Lord, thank you, Father, for how you've worked in each of our hearts. And Lord, just testifying a few moments ago, giving glory to your name. Lord, it's all because of you that we're here. Father, it's all because of you that we can join together as a local church and continue to press forward for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's all because of you, Lord, that we have this singular purpose in our lives, and that is to bring glory to your name. Oh, Father, we're just overwhelmed by all that you've done, all that you continue to do, and all that you're going to do. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we would understand at the tip of all of this is your overflowing love in our hearts, Lord, that spills over and affects all those around us. Help us, Father, really, as Peter is pinned down under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, to have fervent charity among ourselves. Lord, we don't need to wax cold in love, but we need to abound in love. And Father, help us to understand what that means as we go through this study and through this portion in dealing with this highest form of love. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just move our hearts and affect our lives. Lord, that we'd be more yielded to you even as we leave this place. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. In this 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, we discover this truth that he says, above all things, and I like the language there. He says, above all things, he says, have fervent charity among yourselves. In the verse prior to this, if you look there in that chapter, 1 Peter chapter number 4. Notice what Peter says. The great motivation and urgency of our mission is for the cause of Christ. He says, but the end of all things, notice what he says, is at hand. You might say it this way, it's at the door. We're right there. And then he says, be sober, therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. That's an interesting phrase, watch. How? Unto prayer. Let this drive you to prayer. And so charity is a wonderful word that was found in our Bibles, our English translation of the Bible, and it signifies in the New Testament the highest form of love. In the Greek language, if you didn't know this, there are several words used to speak of what we translate as one word in the English language, love. There's actually four or five different Greek words that signify different kinds of love. Now, for you and I, in our modern vernacular English, we would just simply say love. And the context of what we're saying would determine in our hearts and minds by understanding what kind of love we're speaking about. And so if I was, this morning I sent my wife a picture of the church cat. How many have seen the church cat? Raise your hand. Amen. That church cat was waiting for me when I pulled up this morning. And he came right after me. He was a little bit scared of my truck. But as soon as I got out the truck, man, he was on me like glue. And he wanted me to pet him. And if I said I love the church cat, you would understand what kind of love I'm speaking about. It's not the same kind of love that I have in speaking about my wife, that you, her and I have one towards another. But you would understand by the context what I mean by that. Well, in the Greek language, they literally have different words to identify what type of love we're speaking about. For instance, there is the word phileo. You might think of the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love is their slogan. You know where they get that from? The Greek language, the word phileo. It means this, a relational love. It is a relational love. And so this is why we spoke of in the last lesson of this matter of brotherly love. You know, our love one for another in a local New Testament church, it's relational. It's relational. How are we related? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we're related. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we might say it this way, it's family love. Family love, a relational love. Now, there's another word that's used in the New Testament. It is the word storge. Storge, and you really have to pronounce it with the H-E-E-E rather than the G, but it's spelled S-T-O-R-G-E. And it's used only two times in the New Testament. In fact, both of the times that it's used are in a negative context, but we can kind of understand what it's saying. In Romans 1:31, it says this, without understanding, covenant breakers, without, now here's the word, natural affection, storge, is without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. In 2 Timothy 3:3, again, it's the same word. Without natural affection is that word. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. So in both of those places, it's actually the negative of that kind of love. Now in the Greek language, I'm just telling this to you in case you ever look at it. How many know the word atheism? Raise your hand. Anybody know that word? Do you know that comes from the Greek language? So the word theism means God. It means God. When you put the A in front of it, it negates the word after it. And so atheism means no God because you have the word A and theism. Well, in those two passages I just mentioned, Romans 1:31 and 2 Timothy 3:3, that word storge has the word a in front of it. So it is the negative, which is why the translators put without natural affection. It's no natural affection is literally what it says there. So there's also a way that they actually use the different forms of love in conjunction one with another. For instance, in Romans 12:10, we find the verse says, be kindly affectioned. That's the word philo and storge put together. And so be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, Philadelphia love, in honor preferring one another. Well, there's one other word that's used in the New Testament, and you all probably heard this word before, is the word agape. And this is the highest form of love. This is the kind of love that we're speaking about. In fact, the word is translated 84 times in our English Bible as the word love, and it's translated 28 times as the word charity. You might be thinking, why charity? Because that's kind of an unusual word. I kind of like it because it gives us the idea that love is more than just an emotion. When we think of charity, especially in modern day, we think of acting acting to help somebody else. It gives the idea of action in our lives. And did you know this? Aren't you glad that God showed action towards us in His love towards us is an actionable love? And so we think of that. It's especially used, this word agape, of God's love. Why? Because our God is perfect. He changes not. And so there's some verses there that are mentioned in your notes that you can look at sometime. But there's several verses where it makes the connection that this love is God's love. And so it's certainly this, we would say this, it's the highest form of love, the greatest form of love. We think about one of the most precious verses in the Bible of John 3:16. And guess what? The word loved there is that word agape. And so for God so loved who? The world. And it moved him that he did what? Gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so I want you to consider some other verses as you see there in your notes. Ephesians 2:4 says this, but God, who is rich in mercy for his, notice those next two words, great love wherewith he loved us. Want you to understand, when God uses the word great, he doesn't use it in a fickle way like you and I do. We say, boy, I've had a great time. And we might be referring to one day when we got to go out and be on vacation. And we use the word great so flippantly, we just about call everything great. Oh, that was great food. Woo, that was a great candy bar. But listen, when God says the word great, we're talking about God Almighty, he means great. And so we see here his great love, wherewith he loved us. Romans chapter 8. In verse 38 and 39, that wonderful passage that exclaims how much God loves us, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God. Boy, that's a great love, isn't it? Yeah, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I don't know about you, but that is some of the most comforting verses in all the Bible, to understand that regardless, like Miss Grace said, regardless of what's going on in our lives, regardless of the challenges we face, regardless of the difficulties that come our way, regardless of the things going on around us, maybe in the lives of our loved ones or neighbors or friends or family, regardless of all that, guess what? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And he lists out all the things you could possibly think of. And Jeremiah 31:3 says this, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I've loved thee, notice, with an everlasting love. Now, I've said it before, we can comprehend of eternity because God has set that in our hearts, but really, we have no concept of something that goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. But God's love, guess what, is everlasting. That means it doesn't stop. And therefore, with loving kindness, God says, have I drawn thee? Well, perhaps some of the most powerful verses that we find on this matter of this highest form of love are found from the Apostle of Love. And the Apostle of Love is often referred to as John, the Revelator. He is the Apostle of Love. Why? Because he was the one in whom Jesus loved. And his comment on that in the book of John. Well, as you walk through the book of 1 John, you'll find that John often makes reference to God's love. In fact, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 says this, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? For God is love. He goes on in 1 John 4:19 and says, we love him because he first loved us. And boy, how true that is. When we could spend time in each of those verses and really peel back the onion on what is being said here about this highest form of love. But it begins really in the third chapter, in verse number 1, where John says this in the third chapter of his first epistle. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." I think Brother Allen mentioned that we get to go to heaven is an amazing thing. I think Brother Bronnie mentioned the same thing. It's an amazing thing that we should be called the sons of God. And then it says, "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." But then we look down in verse number 16 of that same chapter, and it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God." How do we know the love of God? Well, he tells us, because he, speaking about Jesus, laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives, notice, for the brethren. There's a comparison being made there. Now think of this for a moment. We perceive or know love. How do we know it? Because of his demonstration of the love towards us in Jesus Christ. And so in the fourth chapter, we find, as he leads up to this, he says in the seventh verse, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Did you know this? That all true love has its origins in God. I know that might ruin some of your Disney movies, but listen, because they're always speaking about true love, true love. And but listen, all true love has its highest form in, guess who? In God. Real love shows that we have his spirit and that we belong to him. Remember this always in the Christian life. Dr. Sexton used to say this, that God is always previous, and he always is. Everything begins with God. And so he, being God, is before all things, and by him all things consist, the Bible tells us. We learn in John chapter 1, 1 through 3. We've gone over this in Bible study group. Listen to the words again. Now with that context, understanding he's the source of all love. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And so any progress that you and I are ever going to have in our lives toward this highest form of love and abounding in it will have to come through our fellowship with him. Friends, I'm going to tell you that when you get away from the Lord, your love is going to wax cold. When you get out of fellowship with the Lord, your love is going to wax cold. When you stop spending time with the Lord, your love is going to wax cold. You know why? Because he's the source. And so we got to get close to the source, right? And so the first question in your notes there, if you'll write it down, what is charity? What is charity? Now that word charity, I mentioned it already, is written 28 times in our Bible as a translation of the word agape. Each time it's listed as that Greek word. 9 of those 28 times are found in one chapter of the Bible. Can somebody raise their hand just by guess as to what chapter in the Bible do we find 9 of the 28 occurrences of the word charity? I'll let you think about it for just a moment. Did you know, Sonny? Okay. Miss Felicity knows. Brother Greg knows. Anybody else know? Got one back here and knows? All right. So go ahead. What do you think, Miss Felicity?
1 Corinthians 13.
Now, that's affectionately referred to as the love chapter. And many of you probably at this moment, like, oh yeah, I knew that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. is called the Great Love Chapter. In that chapter, charity is described. The entire chapter, we used to have someone we knew that sung a song about that, and literally the whole song was that chapter in the Bible. And what a beautiful, beautiful song, because it was just, it was literally just scripture set to a tune. Is a powerful song because God's word is powerful. And in that chapter, love is described. In fact, do this sometime. Take that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and instead of reading the word charity in there, read down through that chapter and replace the word charity with Jesus Christ. Replace that word charity with Jesus Christ. You know why? Because God is love. And listen, everything that's described in that chapter you'll find is imperfection in the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he is love. And so let's look at some of these descriptive words, and we're going to only handle a few of them tonight. But you can turn to your Bibles over there, the 1 Corinthians, so you can kind of follow along for just a moment. Because if we're going to abound in this matter of charity, we have to know what it is, right? And so God helps us by giving us, think of it, an entire chapter to describe this to us. And so 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Now I'm going to read the first couple of verses. We're going to be in verse number 4 in just a minute. But I want to lead the introduction because Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, makes such an important point about this matter of love. Notice what he says. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, I'm a more of an irritant than a help. I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Think of it for a moment. If I have not love. And he says, if I can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, boy, that's pretty powerful. And I don't have love, I'm as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And then he goes on, if that weren't enough, he says, and though I should have the gift of prophecy, these are large statements, and understand what? What does he say? What's the next word? All mysteries. Now, how many would like to have that? Understand them all, right? And so Paul's saying, look, even if I understood it all, I could understand it all, and notice it, have all knowledge, and though I have all, now this is pretty high, all faith, and so that I could remove mountains, how many would love to be able to pray and see a mountain move? Boy, wouldn't that be awesome. And I have not charity, notice what he says, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. It's meaningless. It's worthless. And then he goes on. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and then he says, and though I give my body to be burned, a martyr, and have not charity, guess what? It profiteth me how much? Nothing. You see how high this is? You see how holy this is. This is the top, and this is the point that Paul is making under inspiration of the Holy Ghost of how important this matter of love is. So notice the very first statement here, because what's going to be described is first what love is. And so he says, charity suffereth long. So in your blank there, if you'll write long suffering. Now, if you were thinking of love and all the popular things, you might say, that feeling that I get. Boy, that's the top of the list, that feeling that I get, right? In this matter of love, the butterflies in the stomach, or maybe the happiness and joy that floods in my heart. You think that's the first thing to list. Oh, but that's not what God lists. Notice what he lists at the very first. At the very head of it, it's probably not the most popular word you and I would ever put down. But what does he put at the very top? Charity does what? Suffereth long. How many love the word suffering? It's not the first word that you and I would want to pick out of a bag, is it? God says this highest form of love, this agape love, is what? Long suffering. What does it mean to be long suffering? Oh, you know, you all have to look as far as the Lord to find that out. And think about this, and I think about it often, how long suffering God really is. Now, I understand who I am as so much as God has revealed to me. And I know how I am, right? So much as God has revealed to me. And how many would make this statement by raising a hand? God's been long-suffering to you in your life. Okay. Now take yourself and multiply that times 8 billion for a second. That's how many people about roughly are in the world today. Now take that figure of 8 billion and multiply that over some anywhere from 5 to 7, maybe 10,000 years of human history. And just think how long-suffering God is. That's amazing. And God says, listen, this is an earmark, this is a description of agape love, is to be long-suffering. Long-suffering means this, to be long-spirited. And it directly has to do with our relations with others, okay? And so we're to be long-spirited. We're to be forbearing. It gives the idea of that matter of being patient. And so we have this first area, this matter of long-suffering. This is what love is. It suffereth long. Then notice, secondly, he says, onto this, charity suffereth long. And notice what he says, and is kind. So your next word to write in the blank there is kind. Now the word that's used there in the underlying language, it literally means this. Listen, to show oneself useful. Again, it gives this idea of action. It's this matter of acting in goodwill towards others. We could say it this way, not just in words, but in deed. Kindness exemplifies itself in dealing with others. And so in your notes there, we show kindness in many ways, there's no doubt. Certainly we show kindness in our words. Have you ever been around someone who just doesn't have anything kind to say? And listen, you know, if we're going to show love, we ought to manifest that in our words. The language you use, Christian, ought to be different. You ought not to speak as the world speaks. We ought to use kind and loving words. Sometimes that's harder than others, isn't it? And so it manifests itself in this matter of our words. That's your blank. We show kindness not only in our words, but the next blank is our actions. You know, I was talking about Jonah making his move, making sure everybody knew he was angry. And we have a way with saying not mean words, making sure everybody around us knows that we're upset, right? That's not demonstrating kindness. And so we refined it. We refined it. And we know all the right things to say, but boy, we're going to let them know in our actions. Maybe we just put our stuff down real hard or, you know, stomp our feet or we close doors real hard or something. And we might not say a word, but listen, are we demonstrating kindness in our actions? And so words and actions, we're looking at this matter of charity. The Holy Spirit first presents what charity is, and then he begins to show us what charity is not. And by the way, this is a good help for you in your studying of the Bible. Sometimes it is that God teaches us by showing the opposite of what we should do. And he teaches us by what is not. Sometimes some of the greatest things that you'll discover in the Bible is not what is said, but what is not said in the Bible. In other words, the absence of it is teaching us. And so here we see the Holy Spirit is teaching us to show us what charity is not as it continues. And I thought about this, these words that follow describe the actions of the natural man. In other words, descriptive of what love is not, this naturally will flow from us if we're just yielded to the flesh rather than the spirit. It's easy for us to act in this way. And let's look at the list. Your blank number two, what is not charity? And so notice there in verse number four, charity suffereth long, it is kind. But then he says this, charity envieth what? Not. And so charity is not envious. Now to envy means this, to covet. It means to be jealous over. You know this, that real love does not envy, but it rejoices, listen carefully, in the prosperity of others. You know, it's a terrible thing when you get to the place where you cannot be happy for others. In other words, you're so discontented and self-absorbed that it doesn't matter what happens in other people's lives, you can't rejoice in that. I love the fact that tonight we just gave glory to His name. And I rejoice in all that God's doing in your life. I am so happy that God's working in your lives. But, you know, we can get to a place where we cannot rejoice in what God's doing in the lives of others. Envy, as all with all other forms of sin, listen, it has its root in pride. It considers self rather than others. And so we live in a day that being envious is leveraged in advertising. It's marketed to be able to sell products. We even have this modern phrase, you've probably heard it before, keeping up with the Joneses. That's envy. That's being envious. In other words, so what somebody else has, you got to have it because they've got it. And we're envying or coveting what things they have because we don't have them. Did you know this, that according to this passage, if envy is involved, we're not demonstrating, guess what? Godly love. And so one expositor said it this way, the sense is love does not envy others. The happiness which they enjoy, it delights in their welfare. And so here's a quick question for you as we close to identify if we're in fact demonstrating godly love. We're going to be done right here for the night. Are you able to rejoice in the promotion of others? I want you to think about that. When other people get promoted, do you rejoice in that? Are you able to rejoice when others experience joy? Are you able to be happy for them and experience joy with them when others experience joy in their lives? So we're going to stop right there for the night. I'm going to have a word of prayer before we transition here. Just as we think about this matter of love, as we think about love, and then we're going to transition into the Bible prayer time. Heavenly Father,